Get road trip ready with a service checkup at your local Chevy dealer. They can save you time and money and get the job done right the first time, worry-free. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for current service specials or to schedule a test drive.
Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine, in Kharkiv today, I'm told. Joe, I want to mention this and ask you what you think is going on here. Russia's foreign minister has met with the Iranian president, and they got to be talking about not just Ukraine, but Israel, too, don't you think?
Bob, yes. And as Russia is meeting with Iranian leadership today. Once again, last night, six of these Iranian suicide drones were sent over Ukraine in regions in central Ukraine. This happens almost every day, every night. And I think for anyone who, because I do follow some of the arguments and debates about Israel and Hamas in the U.S. And throughout Europe, but it is very clear that Russia and Iran are allies. And Iran is the biggest supporter of Hamas, and so as President Zelensky has made clear, Israel and Ukraine share common enemies, and Iran being sort of the nexus of that right now. And so even as they meet, they continue to send these Iranian drones over Ukraine. All six of them were destroyed last night by the Ukrainian armed forces. And I'm speaking to you right now from Kharkiv. I have not been to this city since the Russians pounded it just over two weeks ago. They hit the center of the city in a way that they had not done in some time. People were really shaken by that. And it was only a few hours later, about 12 hours, maybe 15 hours later, after that attack, that Hamas invaded Israel with those awful scenes, which everyone here knows so well, because that's what the tactics of Hamas, the way they've the raping and pillaging and the beheadings, exactly what we've seen from the Russians, especially in the first few months of Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine. And as I look out my window in the hotel, I can see a building that was a tall building, tallish, and in ruins. But even nearby there, I see people repairing a roof. And so even though you're surrounded by the ruins, you see the constant rebuilding that is happening. And I would say the big news that's buzzing around about Ukraine right now is in occupied Crimea, Sevastopol. Sometime early this morning, possibly about 4 o'clock in the morning, there were many reports of explosions. Now, Sevastopol, the Russians have occupied the Crimean Peninsula since 2014. But even for almost 100 years, actually much longer than that, they've had a naval base in Sevastopol. Even when Ukraine got its independence in 1991 from the Soviet Union, Ukraine allowed Russia to keep its naval base there very naively, as we see now. And a month ago, September 22nd, Ukrainians began to pound the headquarters of Russia's Black Sea Fleet headquarters. Those actions by Ukraine forced Russia to move much of its fleet to other ports. But then this morning, there were explosions. The Russian governor, the so-called governor of occupied Crimea, said that there was a Ukrainian submarine attack, maybe underwater drones. Ukraine sort of has alluded that certainly they've done something. The Russians have said, yes, something big has happened. We don't have many more details about it. But at the same time, so just a few hours after whatever happened, Ukraine did something in Sevastopol. A few hours later, President Zelensky was speaking virtually to a conference in Prague called the Crimea Platform. It's an organization that's existed for years to help get Crimea back to Ukraine, back to freedom. And President Zelensky said, the Russian Black Sea Fleet is no longer able to operate in the western part of the Black Sea and is gradually fleeing from Crimea. And this is a historic achievement. Mm-hmm. And I know I've been saying this pretty often the past weeks, and even at Polish media, TVP World, I have a story today that says, Bob, I took your advice to start publishing some more stories.
Good.
Not the New York Times yet, but the headline is, you might be missing this, but Ukraine is winning. And I know it's provocative, but if you look at what's happening, what Ukraine is able to do at this crucial port city, crucial to the Russians, And if you also look at the fact that since, again, that strike on September 22nd, it's starting to get chilly here, but the Russians have not undertaken any massive missile strikes nationwide throughout Ukraine. And so Ukraine is moving into a stronger and stronger position, just as the world is stopping paying attention.
A lot of debate in the United States about funding for Ukraine and Israel, and in what may be another sign, Joseph, that Ukraine is, I wouldn't say gaining the upper hand yet, but certainly doing better than holding their own in the war. There's an intelligence update from the UK's Ministry of Defense that says Russian government spending is becoming increasingly focused on the costs of the war in Ukraine. Have you heard about that?
Well, I mean, we know that Russia has looking at the battles of Bakhmut, but then now this the most recent the sort of the biggest land battle right now in that city, that really a fortified town called Avdiivka. Russians have been, by all accounts, been losing significant resources there. It's tough fighting for the Ukrainians as well, but the Russians, you know, they have the manpower's advantage. I think that makes them perhaps a little less prudent with their resources, and so they just throw everything that they can. But you know, if you look at both that, you know, on the ground, again, the Ukrainians have made moves. They've crossed the Dnieper River in the south, which is huge, and how they're keeping the Russians focused on this fortified town that, you know, like Bakhmut, is not very strategically vital. And then you see what Ukrainians are able to do to the Black Sea Fleet. And how air defense is, you know, improving and holding strong, all of these things. And that's where we have to ask the question before we, you know, sort of naively become manipulated by the enemies of freedom, really, is that, you know, what was the timing of Hamas's invasion of Israel accidental? Did Hamas just one day decide that they were going to put parachutes on their bicycles and land in Israel? Or did they have some big plan? And if you look at, I mean, when I look at the global headlines about Israel, and I read stories from within Gaza, even from the BBC, it's very easy when you read these stories every day, you could forget what happened on October 7th, forget the horrible atrocities of Hamas, and they're very good, as the Russians have tried as well, very good at manipulating people to all the focus is on this horrible sufferings in Gaza. But all, you know, always sketchy on details, and I think again, it's hard to trust any information that comes out of there simply because it's not a free country. The same with Russia, but it just seems too perfectly coordinated, and I mean, and especially with the Russians meeting in Tehran today, too perfectly coordinated. As you know, if you have your game plan when you're going to war and you realize, okay, if we start to lose and we're not able to succeed, how can we get the world distracted? Or how can we get people on our side in some other way? And I think that's exactly what's happening right now.
Before we let you go today, Joseph, I want to share an email with you. Dear Bob, morning show crew, and Joseph. Joseph's report recently about driving from Kyiv to Odessa brought back many memories and brought me to tears in the morning. My husband and I made that drive a number of years ago. At this time of year, we had a referral from the ministry in Kyiv to see a child in Odessa to adopt. We saw the fields that Joseph described. We even saw a couple driving a car, driving a cart and horse along a frontage road that looked like the one in the movie Dr. Zhivago. 2 weeks later, we made the return trip to Kyiv with our new child. Thank you so much for these daily reports. Best regards to you, the morning show and crew, and Joseph. Slava Ukraini from Marla. That's nice,
wow,
isn't it?
Marla, heroim Slava. And yeah, those fields are so beautiful, and you still do see bits of old life, even the horse-drawn carts, even though it's a very modern society. But if you want, and that's where I told you about the story. I was traveling with a combat kitten, Slavic,
right,
who was on a mission for the demisification of the trenches. That's in my story as well. And if you go to UkrainianFreedomNews.com, this story, you might be missing this, but Ukraine is winning. I put into writing a little bit of that road trip from Odessa to Kyiv. But thanks for those good words, and I hope she and many others can come back and travel that amazing region one day soon.
Amen. And we've got all the links to Joseph Lindsley on our WGNRadio.com Surratt Show page site. Joseph, keep spreading your smart words around the world, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
Until tomorrow, wish me luck. I'm 30 miles from Russia, so until tomorrow.
Yeah, be safe.